your grace that enables us, Lord, to understand your word. You give us enough, Lord. We don't understand everything, perhaps, just enough. Follow Christ. Remain whole. Live holy lives. And thanks, Lord, for your grace. Lead us now through this study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, interesting, I heard a pastor say once that if you take the Bible and drop it in the midst of the jungle tribe, in their language, you don't need a theologian to come and explain things to them. That there's enough here for anyone to be saved, to follow Jesus, to live holy lives. They don't know the Greek, they don't know the Hebrew, and sometimes the theologians, they kind of muddy the pot sometimes. Sometimes they're helpful, no doubt. I've looked at a lot of theologians. But I think his pastor's right. Just drop the Bible in some culture, in their language, and they have enough. They'll have enough to get them to heaven. Okay, today we're going to be in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. We're going to try to answer the question, will Israel, a nation, be saved? So turn with me in your scriptures to Romans 11, 26. Start there. Romans 11, 26. Now again, remember what Peter says, that there are things in Paul's epistle that are hard to understand. And this is probably one of those about Israel. And I'm not sure we're going to come to any one particular conclusion because there are different views on this, right? But we're going to look at it anyway. Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion, that's out of Israel, the deliverer, that's the Messiah, Jesus, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. All Israel shall be saved. Now we do know, go back to Romans chapter 9, that the Apostle Paul wanted all Israel to be saved. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and following. I say the truth in Christ, I do not lie, my conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In other words, he wanted Israel to be saved. Now remember, according to chapter 9, verse 7, again, we're skipping around trying to pinpoint an answer here. There are two Israels. There are two Jewish people, two Jews, two Israelites. Two Israels, two nations. Remember in Romans 9, the Lord told Rebekah that there are two nations in your womb. What were those two nations? Led by two people. Esau led the Edomites, and Jacob, the Israelites. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Okay. Esau represents the fleshly Israelite. He was a Jew, but he despises birthright, as most Jews do today. They have the birthright because they come from Abraham, flesh and blood from Abraham. They despise their birthright by rejecting the Messiah. Now look at Romans 9, 7. Neither because they are all the seed of Abraham are they all children. Just because someone is a descendant of Abraham does not make them a child of God. But in Isaac shall your seed be called, because Isaac was the son of promise, the one that they conceived out of faith. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. So when the Apostle Paul prayed in those opening verses there, he has great heaviness and sorrow for his kinsmen after the flesh. Who is he referring to? His kinsmen after the flesh. The Jewish people, not necessarily believing Jews, right? That they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. So Paul wasn't praying for the children of God here. He was praying for those who are not the children of God, just the physical descendants of Abraham. But the children of the promise are counted for seed. Children of the promise, that is in Isaac, we have our connection to Abraham. All right, in Romans 10:1, let's go to Romans 10:1. We see here again Paul's desire for the physical Jews to be saved. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Very plain. Paul desires the kinsmen according to the flesh, the nation. Nation is not so much governments and armies, it's the people. Right? He wants them to be saved. Now, in chapter 10, verse 1, how do we know which Israel Paul's talking about? Because again, there are two Israels. There are two descendants of Abraham, those of promise, those just the flesh. Go to the next verse, verse 2 of chapter 10. For I bear them record, these are referring to the Israelites that he wants to be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, as through the law, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What or who is the righteousness of God? Verse 4, for Christ. Okay. Christ is the righteousness of God. So how does one attain the righteousness of God? Go back to chapter 9, verse 31 through 33. Who wants to read that for us? Erica, you have it? Yeah, Romans 9, 31, 32, 33.
But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law. Therefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay. How is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus attained? Through what? The way they didn't seek it. They did not seek this righteousness by faith. Instead, they sought it by the law, the works of the law. And the stumbling stone that they tripped over is whom? Jesus. Again, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion in Israel a stumbling stone. So in the nation of Israel, God puts a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believes on him, it's him now, shall not be ashamed. That's Jesus. He is that. So Israel did not find the righteousness of God because they didn't have faith. It wasn't because God didn't choose them or he didn't call them. They refused. And God saw Israel and sees Israel today as lost sheep. Turn to Matthew 10:6. Someone read Matthew 10:6 for us. Here the Lord Jesus is commanding his disciples to go out and preach the gospel.
Go rather to wash the house of Israel.
Okay. And he says in verse 5, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So God saw and sees Israel as lost sheep. He sees them as lost sheep. That's their status today. They're lost sheep. They're not following God because they're not following the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if they believed in Moses and Jesus, they would believe Jesus.
Someone turn to 1 Corinthians 10:18 to read that. We see how lost sheep they are. But yet he calls them sheep. They're lost sheep. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How lost were they? Remember, they are called the sheep of God's hand. They were called his bride. They were called his people. They were called his children in the Old Testament. By many names, he called them. But now they're lost sheep. Who is 1 Corinthians 10:18? Okay, please.
Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices of the tapers of the
altar? Now here we know he's talking about Israelites after the flesh. What do they do? They eat the sacrifices that were on the altar, which the Corinthians were doing. But what else did they do? They were partakers of the altar. And the King James says partakers of the altar. What does that mean? They actually bowed to the gods, the false god, the Greek gods. And we see in terms of Revelation 11. Now again, Revelation 11 is whole Revelation is a very symbolic book, and we don't know everything that this means here about the two prophets at the end of time. It seems that God's going to raise up two mighty men of God, two prophets, who will preach and then be martyred for the gospel's sake. But that's not what we're getting into. We want to look at verse 8. Who has verse 8? Mike?
Their dead bodies will lie in the street.
The lie in the street. Is that right?
Oh,
yeah.
Eight. And their dead bodies will lie in the street in the great city that is called Sodom, Egypt, where the Lord was crucified.
Notice what city was the Lord crucified? Was he crucified in Sodom? No. Was he crucified in Cairo, Egypt? No. Where was he crucified? Jerusalem. But notice what God calls Jerusalem. Sodom and Egypt, that's lost sheep. That's how lost they were. Right? And he likens them to Sodom and Egypt. So again, Christ was crucified. He notices, puts on the end there, where also our Lord was crucified, so no one is suspicious of what does he mean. No, Christ was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he calls it Sodom and Egypt. Back to Romans chapter 10, verse 21. We see too that God wanted Sodom and Egypt, okay, those that crucified Christ, he wants them to be saved. The Apostle Paul has a desire that Israel be saved because God has that desire. By the time Paul wrote Romans, his will and God's will were pretty much entwined and meshed together, right? He wanted what God wanted, and he expressed God's desire. Look at 10:21. I'll read it. Romans 10:21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying means a speak against people. They're speaking against me. Okay. So all day long, from the time when they were Israel was formed, he's stretching out his hand, and they just keep pushing it away. They keep speaking against him, killing the prophets. But we see here a desire for God, a desire in God's heart for Israel to be saved. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 4. And this is about Israel. This is about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham. Romans 9, 4. They are Israelites, said the Apostle Paul. These are the ones he's praying for. The kinsmen according to the flesh. the Egyptians and the Sodomites, that Revelation calls them, right? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, to whom Jesus sent his disciples first, who are Israelites, verse 4, whom pertains the adoption. They were adopted. And the glory, for God offered them his glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, but also the promises. Also the promises. Now let's jump over to Romans 11, 27. Romans 11, 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Again, he's referring to the physical Jews, those he likened to Sodom, to Egypt, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies. They are your enemies. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Then in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What do you think that means, that verse 29? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Repentance means changing your mind. Irrevocable. Okay, that's a good word. Yep. What's irrevocable? Yeah, and the promises that God made to Israel. He doesn't change his mind, doesn't revoke them, doesn't throw them away. In other words, the Jews can still be saved. Because of that, because of God's grace, any Jew can be saved. But that doesn't necessarily answer the question of whether or not all Israel will be saved. Right? But God finds it in his heart to reach out to them day and night. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Verses 1 and 2. I say then, Paul asking a question, I say then, has God cast away his people? Has God cast away Israel? God forbid. For I also am Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And then in verse 2, God has not cast away the people, this is important, which he foreknew. Know you not that the scripture says of Elijah, how Elijah made intercession to God against Israel, saying, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Now we just skip over to verse 15. Then we'll get back to verse 3. So in verse 2, verse 1 of 11, he says, has God cast away his people? Then he says, in verse 2, God has not cast away his people. But then in verse 15 says, if the casting away of them, the Israelites, so he's saying God hasn't cast them away in verses 1 and 2. And verse 15, he says he has cast them away. Can you make any heads or tails of that? Well, we have to look at the rest here. So in verse 2, Paul mentions the prophet Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel. In other words, Elijah the prophet was speaking against Israel. He was being chased by whom? Do you remember? Jezebel was chasing him when he said this, and he fled for his life. Verse 3, Lord, they have killed your prophets, this Israel. Dig down your altars. I am left alone. and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God? How did God answer him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knees to the image of Baal. Jezebel was the one that introduced Baal worship into Israel in a big way. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant. And so, in 11, 1 and 2, when Paul says, has God cast away his people? The answer is no, the remnant has not been cast away. But what he said in verse 15, he has cast away, he's talking about those who aren't of the election of grace. Those who don't seek it by faith. They are cast away. If you have any questions or comments, you can speak out.
You're talking like he rejected them corporately, but individually.
Corporately, yes. Individually.
The nation of Israel is done.
Yeah.
After the new covenant. But there's still people within the quote unquote Israel that can be saved.
Yes. Though there are some, I'm going to read you from John Piper. He's one of a few that believe all Israel will eventually be saved. That the nation itself will come to Christ the Messiah. Okay, I'm going to read some reasons why he believes it. There's some strong reasons why he believes that. Then at the end, I'm going to read the opposing view. Okay, that it's just the remnant. Just the remnant. That throughout history, and that's why I think Paul said that here about Elijah, and God saying there's a remnant. A remnant means what? A shred. Okay? A thread. A shred. What else? How else do you
like
describe
a select
it?
Few,
a select.
Like a small part of something.
A small part of something. Yes, that's the best.
So when you say nation, you mean it means like everybody? Like all people? Or a majority of people?
Well,
or?
What did Paul say there in verse 26 of 11? So all Israel shall be saved. Okay, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away sin or ungodliness, iniquity from Jacob, right? And so that would be a fulfillment, some believe, of God's promise to Abraham, God's promise to the Israelites, okay? And even though he cut them off, and we see here in verse chapter 11, verse 20, because of unbelief, they were broken off. In other words, they once were the children of God. I personally can't call an unbelieving Jew a child of God because they were cast off. But out of that, which was cast off, there can be a remnant of those who have faith and believe. So because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you, the Gentiles, stand by faith, be not high-minded, but fear, okay? Then I have a glass of water there to share with me.
I got you.
Okay, thank you. Let me read to you John Piper's view, and then he gives five reasons why 11:26, Romans 11:26, where it says, so all Israel shall be saved. He believes it is the whole nation of Israel. Which many believe.
I mean, modern day Israel, except like
the future Israel, a future
now.
Time. Yes, there's a future time when the nation of Israel will come to believe. It doesn't mean every single Jew there. It doesn't mean maybe the government, but it means en masse. Okay, and thank you. But the nation itself, the people. He doesn't say 90%, 85%, or what. So Romans 11:26 says, so all Israel shall be saved. And John Piper writes, not all Israel may be saved, but all Israel will be saved. That's how it starts. And again, he brings up some good points here. Why many people believe there will be a national turning of Israel to Jesus Christ. Not just to Jehovah God, the Old Testament, but to Jesus. Not everyone agrees that all Israel refers to the nation as a whole, alive in some future generation. Some take all Israel to refer to the true spiritual Israel, including Jews and Gentiles. And here are the two different views. Okay. There is Esau, the unbelieving Jew, and Jacob, the believing Jew. Two nations, or two Israels. Some take all Israel to refer to the true spiritual Israel, including Jews and Gentiles. Right now, the church is Israel. We are the children of God. He is not a Jew, said Paul in Romans, which is one outline. He's not a Jew. He's not an Israel, but by the flesh. Kinsmen according to the flesh. Others take it to refer to the remnant of believing ethnic Israel that is being saved all along through faith in Christ. That's the remnant. Both of these views deny what I have been arguing for, and that is that there will be a great and stupendous national conversion of Israel someday. And if you think about it, that's probably what the Apostle Paul is praying for when he said, I want all Israel to be saved. I want every Jew to be saved. We should be praying the same thing and hope we do. But here are five reasons why I, John Piper, believe Romans 11:26 refers to the nation of Israel as a whole. Number one, verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come to Israel. Partial hardening of their hearts. That must refer to the nation as a whole from generation to generation. And then Paul continues, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. I don't think the meaning of Israel changes between verse 25 and 26. The hardened Israel, as the nation as a whole, will be saved Israel, the nation as a whole. You see what he's saying? Second reason why he believes 11:26 refers to the entire nation of Israel. The reference in verse 26 to banishing ungodliness from Jacob fits with the national view of all Israel. But let me add this too, because I'm really not certain where I stand on this myself, right? I believe in the remnant. They shall, all the remnant of Israel, the real Israel, shall be saved because they walk by faith. They're obedient, as Jacob was. They wrestled with God. They did his will. Remember, Jacob saw the ladder. That was for him, not the angel. So isn't there a song, we are climbing Jacob's ladder? Right? Higher and higher. We're to be climbing that ladder, right? Getting closer to God. So Esau was the false Israel. Jacob was the real Israel. But here, when he says in verse 26, he shall turn all ungodliness away from Jacob. Jacob is the true Israel. This could also be a reference to what? In the last days. A great revival in the church. There are pictures of revivals in the church. One is in Matthew 25, the 10 maidens. What were they all doing when the bridegroom came? Sleeping. The foolish maids were sleeping out of foolishness. The wise maids were sleeping out of, no doubt, weariness. This is the end of time. This is the coming of the Lord. Matthew 25. He says, watch, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. So the wise maidens were sleeping for a different reason. The foolish maids were. The wise maids were sleeping because of so many centuries of fighting the devil of struggling with things, they were weary. But what happened? Revival. They woke up and they trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding. That's a picture of revival. And Revelation, it says too, the bride has made herself ready. So taking ungodliness away from Jacob could mean a great revival in the remnant. The remnant will be saved if there's a revival. And they take away their ungodliness, their worldliness. That's one view. Verse 26, and in this way all Israel will be saved. As is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. And this seems most naturally to be a picture of Christ's return at the second coming. And banishing ungodliness from Jacob refers most naturally to the removal of the hardening referred to in verse 25, a partial hardening. Jacob is not a natural or typical reference to the elect remnant of Israel. The hardening lasts until the full number of the Gentiles comes in, as the time of the Gentiles become. That there, many believe this, that there will come a time. It's not that Gentiles can never be saved again, but right now, the work of evangelism has been for the last, actually since when? Great Commission. Well, they were Jews, the Gentiles have have shouldered the burden of evangelism over centuries and centuries. This could mean that the time will come when Israel takes over. When Israel comes to Christ, that they will take over, that the time of the Gentiles is over. In Revelation, we read the 144,000 that come from the 12 tribes of Israel. That has been likened to 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The hardening lasts until the full number of the Gentiles comes in as the climax of world missions. And then Christ comes and lifts the veil and removes the hardening, who banishes ungodliness from Jacob, from all Israel. That was point number two. Point number three from John Piper. The parallel between the two halves of verse 28 point to all Israel as the nation as a whole. And look at verse 28. As regards to the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. Now that half of the verse surely refers to the nation as a whole. They are enemies of God. So the second half of the verse surely refers to the nation as a whole as well. But as regards the election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers, because of the promise that God made. The point of this verse is to show that even though Israel now is a covenant-breaking, unbelieving nation that is growing, that's going to change. The nation that are enemies now will be converted later because of God's election and love. And again, they are now the enemies of the gospel. A few years ago, I was riding in the van with Steve Schmaltz. We were going to visit one of the orphanages. I was sitting up front with him. And Dale, you were in the back with Sophia, right in that hard seat. Terrible. If you ever ride with Stephen Sophia, ask to sit in the front. Anyway, Stephen Sophia, as you know, they're really friends of Israel. They love the Jewish people. They love Israel. They go there, I think, every year. And I asked Steve this question. And I thought he might give me a different answer, but he gave me the right answer. I said, Steve, right now as it stands, are they the children of God, the people of God? He goes, no, they're of the devil. And that's how he said it. I thought he'd say, well, yeah, you know, they still are, and they're still under Abraham's covenant. But no, he said, they're of the devil. That's a satanic religion. He actually used the word satanic religion. And it is. It's a satanic religion. Because they, not just did they crucify Christ, they rejected Jehovah in the Old Testament They rejected the Messiah in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Bible says if anyone does not believe Jesus the Christ, they are Antichrist. So Israel now is Antichrist. They're Antichrist. So when Steve was in at the Wailing Wall, began preaching, and Jews surrounded him, Hasidic Jews, and they threatened to kill him if he continued. So they are Antichrist.
Oh, wow.
Point number four. Verse 12. Let's see what chapter that's in. Oh, yeah, verse 12 of 11. Chapter 11, verse 12. Now, if, I'll read it from the King James first. Now, if the fall of them, of Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? See what that's talking about. It's talking about that partial hardening will be lifted, and there'll be a fullness. How much more? So their fall brought salvation to the Gentiles. Because the Jews rejected Jesus, the Gentiles were given the opportunity, and they grabbed it up. They gobbled it up. But also, he says here, how much more Israel's fullness. Here, their full inclusion, says Piper, most naturally refers to the same nation as their trespass and their failure. So their full inclusion refers to the salvation of all Israel and is national. And then lastly, Pastor Piper says, the same thing is true about the parallels in verse 15. Let's look at verse 15. For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. In other words, the rest of the world can be reconciled. They haven't been, but they can be through faith. What shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead, resurrection, revival. For if their Jewish nation's rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their, the Jewish nation's, acceptance mean but life from the dead? The nation now rejected will be accepted. So the acceptance of the Jewish nation must naturally refer to the salvation of all Israel, the salvation of the nation as a whole someday in the future. So that's what John Piper believes. I'm sort of in between both.
Yes.
I might be leaning more towards that view than I was before, but I still hold on to the remnant view because it's here.
Okay.
Here is someone called Jim Eliff, who's with the Christian Communications Worldwide. I don't know who he was, but I just found this on the internet. Who is all Israel? He says, in my opinion, though Israel is discussed in various ways, all Israel in this verse, 11:26, is all elect Israel, the remnant, chosen. But it's not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, we read that. Nor are they all children because they're Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, the children of the promise as regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, there was Rebecca also. When she had conceived twins by one man, her father Isaac, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand. Not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. We studied that before. And just to finish up what he said. In the entire section of chapters 9 through 11, Paul is making the point that the children of promise are those God chooses and calls. These are the elect, such as Isaac and Jacob. Some are Jews, some Gentiles. God says in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. Israel, as an ethnic entity, has rejected God's offer of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the remnant that will be saved. Whatever one says about the sentence, and so all Israel will be saved, we must remember that it will only be the remnant that will actually be saved among Israel. And the remnant is the true Israel about whom the promises are made. And so, we don't have a conclusion to this matter, right? So there are those on both sides, but I think we should conclude with the desire of the Apostle Paul, that all his kinsmen according to the flesh be saved, and that God daily for centuries is stretching out a hand of welcome to them. Whether or not they will come, maybe we have to wait and see. What are your views on this?
I just don't know what they mean by, like, hyper or others that, like, modern day Israel, so talking geographically, you know, the Israel that just got in the conflict with Palestine, like that,
the nation
geographical,
yes.
Because what makes me not think it's that is simply because that didn't exist until 1948, right?
Well, the new demographics, but they were always an old Israel. You had northern tribe of Israel, southern tribe of Judah. They had their borders. They were a nation. They were one
right.
nation at one time.
And then they were scattered. So, like,
then they were scattered.
Shortly after he wrote this, you know, in AD 70, they just went all over the earth, the Jews. And
right.
So it's like, and then they, you know, the starting the nation of Israel in 48. Like, is that now? It's like, so before that, what did people think? Like, if you look at old commentaries, maybe from the 1700s, when there was no nation of Israel, did they think, like, is this just talking about Jewish people that are the ones scattered, or like, could, is it? So to me, I think it's a little too much of a modern framework to think mm-hmm. that God's talking about this nation of Israel mm-hmm. 1948 plus. Because
mm-hmm.
we don't know, that nation could be destroyed anytime, you know? It could be just taken over and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then what? Now you got to re kind of interpret
yeah.
things. So the whole geographical area of what we call Israel, I don't know, it just that was almost like it didn't mean anything until now, like 1900.
It might not have anything to do with geographics.
Might right, it could be just Jewish people in
the
general.
Jewish people, Israel,
yeah.
okay, because they have been scattered. Remember when James writes his epistle? Now, James was the half-brother of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Is that James? Look at James when he addresses his letter. It says, James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, did he write that after the dispersion under Titus? Because there was in Acts chapter 8, there was a persecution of Jewish believers before Titus came in. What do they call the diaspora?
Diaspora.
I'm not sure if he's writing about that, because it said they're scattered. But they were scattered too in Acts chapter 8. Through regular persecution.
Mm-hmm.
But he is writing, and you think about, most scholars say he's writing to the Jewish believers who are scattered throughout the world because of that invasion by Rome.
Right. So they would date that past,
I guess, that
70 or whatever.
Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. Remember what Paul said, that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek. And we're all one. And here he calls them tribes. Well, as a real Jew, I'm also a tribe of Israel. I don't know if it's a tribe of Benjamin or Judah or what, but we don't have that. But Because Jesus said to his disciples, apostles, that he will one day sit on the throne and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's inclusive to all of Israel, the remnant that are being saved, that will be saved. So when James writes to the 12 tribes, I think he's writing to Gentiles as well, who are scattered. But, okay, so that's a good point. It may not be a geographical demarcation. This might be Jews everywhere, because they still are scattered.
Then you have some say that he's just talking about the church.
Yeah.
Like all of the church will be saved.
Uh-huh.
Right? Isn't that, would that be a third view? Like Israel's the church. It doesn't really seem to fit in there.
That would be the remnant. Okay. In other words, the church would be the remnant. The real church would be those who are genuinely following the Lord, I think. That would be the church. So that would seem to fit in there. That just the remnant, just the church would be saved. But you see what Paul brings out here. Remember, Paul is writing to Jewish believers, and he's also telling them, like, for example, in that 10th chapter, we'll conclude here. He tells them how to be saved. Okay. Verse 9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation is not through Abraham, it's not through Moses, it's still through Jesus Christ. Remember the Catholic Church some years ago, they taught that don't evangelize the Jews because they're already saved under Abraham's covenant.
John Hagee too.
John Hagee actually said, Jesus did not come to save the Jews.
Because there, that covenant still remains.
Yeah, right. The covenant remains.
But they
promises, well, see, the covenant does remain, but yet they're cast off from it. They've been broken out of the olive tree. So in other words, the covenant now, but God said, I will make a new covenant. So that new covenant is for the Jews. It's through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let me answer one of your questions. This is the way it goes. Your Father, we just thank you that if anything would come out of this, Lord, that we should have a greater desire, as the Apostle Paul did, a willingness, Lord, a heaviness of heart, sorrow, day and night, that not only Jews be saved, but others, Lord, all lost sheep. But the Jews are not just the lost sheep, Lord. There are many Gentiles lost sheep. Help us, Lord, to have a greater desire by stretching our arms out. We reveal the arms of Christ that died upon the cross for sin. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.